Boker Tov, good morning. So what does it mean to be a whole Jew? It's a big question. What does it mean to be a whole Jew, to be a complete Jew? So part of the answer is, what is the goal of Judaism? So maybe our instinctive, our reactive answer to that question is, especially in the context of learning, maybe we would argue, the goal is to be a chacham or a Talmud chacham. And so let's keep that in the back of our mind, but we're really looking to answer this question of what does it mean to be a whole Jew? What does it mean to be an accomplished Jew? And so to answer this question, we need to start with a story. They're interrelated. One informs the other. The story begins in 1707 in Padua, Italy, where a man by the name of Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. Luzzatto was a very famous, prominent Italian family, Italian Jewish family, is born, and at a young age, he becomes involved with a group of young men who are studying Kabbalah, who are studying the mystical traditions of Torah. And he is recognized as a very prodigious young man in his learning. At about the age of 20, he reveals to others that he has been visited by a magid, by a spiritual being who informs him of various spiritual teachings and becomes not just a member of this group, but the leader of a group of young men who are studying Kabbalah. And this leads to a great controversy. Now, the reason for this controversy, as you could imagine, is because we are less than 100 years since a guy came along and also was very involved in Kabbalah. Also, when this young man, Rav Moshe Chaim, we call him Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, when the Ramchal was involved in Kabbalah, it doesn't just mean he was learning Kabbalah, it means he was learning Kabbalah with a focus on messianism, on Mashiach, on bringing the Mashiach and creating a tikkun. Well, there was a man who came just a few generations before. His name was? That's right, Shabtai Tzvi, and the Jewish world was still, and later into the 18th century, was still affected by the experience, the terrible experience of Shabtai Tzvi. So this creates a whole storm, his writings in Kabbalah and his teachings in Kabbalah, back and forth. That's not going to be the focus of our discussion today, but it's just an interesting thing to note that during his lifetime, this young man, Moshe Chaim, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, was highly controversial to the point where some of his writings were buried, some of them were burned. He has to make his way at a certain point to Amsterdam because of a lot of these issues. So he settles in Amsterdam, and in the 1730s, he's working on a project. Over his lifetimes, he writes many Sfarim. He also writes poetry. He's an expert in Hebrew language. He writes Das Tevunos and Derech Hashem and several Kabbalistic works. While he is there in Italy, he develops this project, which ultimately he publishes as a sefer in 1740. This sefer, published in 1740, is called Mesilas Yesharim, literally translated as the path of the upright, of the just, of the straight. I'm holding two different editions, which I'll explain to you in a minute. Just post this, several years later, Ramchal leaves Amsterdam. Where does he go to? Does anybody know where the Ramchal spent the end of his life? That's right. He spent his life, the rest of his life in Israel. He lived in Akko. And then there is somewhat of a mystery of where he is buried, because I've never been to the cemetery, but apparently in the cemetery in Tveria, there was a tradition by some that the Ramchal was buried near Rabbi Akiva. So apparently, I saw a picture, but I don't know if it's true. Apparently, there is a tomb of the kever of of the Ramchal in Tveria. However, there is a really, really, really interesting article, just parenthetically. There was a scholar, an Israeli scholar, a very prominent scholar, by the name of Avraham Yari. And in this magazine, in the Moznaya magazine, which I don't know how many people subscribe to it, because this edition is from September 1st, 1932, but in this magazine article, in the Moznaya, Avraham Yari marshals evidence to point out that he's not buried in Tveria, he's rather buried in Kfar Yosef. What is Kfar Yosef? So you can go online today and you can find there is a village called Kfar Yosef. It's an Arab village. It's about 11 kilometers from Akko, because the Jewish community had a tradition that they didn't bury people in Akko. The Ramchal likely died in a plague in 1747. And so he's actually probably, and I saw a picture when I went online, because I didn't go to the cemetery myself, I saw a picture online that there is actually a gate with a sign in Arabic protecting or at least demarcating the old Jewish cemetery in Kfar Yosef, where it's very likely that the Ramchal is actually buried. Just an interesting historical note. Okay, so in 1740, the Ramchal publishes this sefer, Mesilas Yesharim, and the purpose of that sefer, there's more sheets up here, the purpose of that sefer, of Mesilas Yesharim, is to answer this question that we're asking today. What does it mean to be a full Jew? How do you know if you accomplished your goal in Judaism? What does that look like? What is the great accomplishment in Judaism? So, as part of this discussion, the Ramchal says, and we're going to study the introduction together, of course, that's why we're here, don't worry, I'm not going to let you leave without the introduction. The Ramchal says, you should know there is a Braisa. A Braisa is a text from the same period of the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos was edited, anybody know who edited the Mishnayos? That's what? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited the Mishnayos around the year 230 of the Common Era. Because what was happening the previous 100 years, some very nasty anti-Jewish persecutions from the Romans. So things were very difficult for the Jewish people, and so they needed to codify the Mishnah so the Torah shouldn't be lost. Well, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi only gave us a specific amount of cliff notes, you could say, only a specific amount of information in the Mishnayos, and then there are other parallel teachings from the same period. So one is called the Braisa, those were edited by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, also two people who lived at the end of the Mishnayos period, the beginning of the Gemara period, 3rd century, and also there's something called the Tosefta, and then there are, of course, the Midrashim, Midrashi Halacha, Midrashi Agada. So there is a Braisa, and this Braisa is attributed to a very specific person. This price appears in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. It also is raised in the Rishalmi in a few places. I think it's the end of Sota as well. It's a price which is attributed to, the story has to do with a man by the name of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. It's interesting that the Ramchal is going to choose the price of Rav Pinchas ben Yair as his guide for how to teach us to answer this question. Rav Pinchas ben Yair was in the circle of a very great Tannaitic sage who was both a super Kabbalistic, expialidocious, whatever. He was a super Kabbalist, but he was also a very important figure in the world of halacha and learning in general. Who might be the most well-known Kabbalist and halachist who appears lots of times in the Mishnayos by just his first name, who also appears a lot in the legend of piety? That's it, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair was not just a halachist, he was also involved in the world of Nistar, and Rav Pinchas ben Yair was also known to be a miracle worker. Ad kedei kach, you can imagine Rav Pinchas ben Yair, not only was he on an incredibly high spiritual level, he also had a donkey. That was, anything that was in his circle, anything that was in his influence, was of a high spiritual stature. So he had a donkey that was extremely pious, probably more pious than most of us. The Gemara has stories about this pious donkey, that it wouldn't eat just random in anybody's house. because it wasn't going to eat food that wasn't absolutely kosher, like most donkeys of that spiritual metal. So he chooses, Ramchal chooses for this book, for Mesillas Yesharim, this brisa of Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, who gives you steps to accomplish our goal, which we have yet to define. Don't worry, we will in a few minutes. So this idea of creating what you could call a ladder, bringing us to the top, there is this gradation. Torah mevia lidei zehirus. Torah brings us to zehirus. How would you translate zehirus? Caution? Concern? Zehirus is mevia lidei zrizus. Zrizus, I think the best English word for zrizut is alacrity. Alacrity. What's that?
Goodness.
Right. Zrizus mevia lidei nikius. What is nikius? Literally means cleanliness. Nikius mevia lidei precious. Precious, you could call separateness. Precious mevia lidei tahara. Tahara is purity. Tahara mevia lidei chsidus. Chasid, which is going to be very important, which we'll get back to in a second, is translated as piety. Chasid is someone who is pious. Chasidus mevia lidei anava. What's anava?
Humility.
Humility. Anava mevia lidei yiras chet. Anava brings a person to yiras chet, fear of sin. Yiras chet mevia lidei kedusha, which then brings the person to sanctity. Kedusha mevia lidei ruach hakodesh. Sanctity brings a person to ruach hakodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh mevia lidei tchiyas hameisim. The high level of Ruach HaKodesh, that brings about the resuscitation of the soul. Okay? That's the steps. That's the ladder. That's the brisa. So Reb Pinchas Ben Yair teaches us these steps. And Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim, decides that he's going to use this as his frame. Well, what do we get from listening closely to this brisa in terms of answering our question? We get one step into the journey of getting to this, of this question, which is that the beginning of this journey for Pinchas Ben Yair started with one step. What was the first step in the journey of the brisa of Pinchas Ben Yair? It was Torah. It's interesting. Torah is the first step, not the last step. We're starting to understand, by thinking about this for a minute, that to be a full Jew, to be a whole Jew, to be totally accomplished in Yiddishkeit, means it's Torah and. Torah as part of, or as the core of, something greater, something more full. Torah is not enough, it's just the beginning. What's the proof to this? The proof to this is this edition of Mesillas Yesharim. Ta-da! Why is this important? Because if you go into your average ordinary bookstore, or you go online and you want to buy Mesillas Yesharim, so this, there are many translations and many editions of Mesillas Yesharim. This is the standard, or this is a standard, this is the Feldheim edition of the Mesillas Yesharim. It's the one that you have in your packet, which we'll look at in a minute. It has the Hebrew, it has the English. It's trying to stay as faithful to the text of the 1740 edition that was published in Amsterdam, which the Ramchal oversaw. He himself was responsible for this publication. But there's another edition. This is by a group of scholars in Cleveland called Machon Ofek. Machon Ofek deals with specific rabbinic manuscripts, specialty rabbinic manuscripts. And apparently, they describe in the introduction of this volume, in the Russian State Library in Moscow, there was a manuscript which initially was the property of Eliakim Karmoli, and later acquired by Baron David Günzburg. This work was written in Italian-Hebrew script in Ramchal's own handwriting. It's sitting in Moscow. It's sitting in this Russian state library. Nobody knows about it. Nobody has access to it. Someone gets a hold of it, and they start looking through this work from Ramchal, and here you have Mesillas Yesharim, or do you? Because this edition has the Mesillas Yesharim in a different type of format. It's not the way the Mesillas Yesharim that we know, which is chapter A, chapter B, chapter C, one after the next, following the steps of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. So it starts with our edition of the Mesillas Yesharim. It's going to go step by step. Midas, it's going to start with Midas HaZehirus. Well, first, Chovas HaAdam BaOlamo, what's the goal? Midas HaZehirus, then Zrizus, Bever Midas HaNekiyos, Precious, etc., etc. It's going to go by chapter. Not in the manuscript edition. Earlier in the 1730s, Ramchal was working on an early version, an initial version, which was not organized by chapter. It was organized as a dialogue. It's not the first time the Ramchal wrote something in a dialogue. The Das Tvunos is a dialogue between the body and the soul. Here, the Ramchal presents a dialogue, a vikuach, between a chacham and a chassid. Tzikisant. A chacham and a chassid. This is very instructive. Now, it's a mystery why Ramchal did not want to publish it at the end, like the Vikuach. That's a good question. Was it because it was too long? Was it because it was too expensive? Was it because he thought it wouldn't be widely of interest to people if that's the way that it was written? Was it because it would be perceived to be antagonistic? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to this question. But this early version of the Mesillas Yesharim sheds light onto what the purpose of this book and how it relates to our question. Because we just pointed out that the story of Pinchas Ben Yair begins with Torah and ends with a much more expansive, it ends with Ruach HaKodesh and Tchiyas HaMesim. The way that the Ramchal frames it in the back and forth in the conversation is, well, the Chacham says, I know a lot, but I feel like there's something missing. So the back and forth is the Chacham going on this journey, the man who has a tremendous amount of Torah knowledge, together with a person of tremendous piety, of closeness to Hashem, and how they go on that journey together, and how the Chacham develops through this experience. So now, yeah.
Does the conversation still go to the same level?
Yes, exactly. So it's the same, it's actually more embellished. The beginning, it's also very interesting. The beginning few chapters, he starts with Ish Chacham Haya. It's a more elaborate, in general, it's more elaborate, and it's a more elaborate presentation, especially the first few chapters. But after you get through the first several chapters, it follows the same path of following each midah. But each discussion is a back and forth. It's an exploration.
About that particular character,
whether it's Zahiris or Precious, etc. I only got a hold of this recently, so I've never gone through the whole back and forth. I only started to look at it when I was preparing. So it's very interesting. But the idea that there's something about the Chacham that is searching for more is what the Ramchal is trying to get us to realize. That we have to think about our entirety of what it means to be a whole Jew. And Chachma is a huge part of it, of course. It's the beginning, it's the base, but it's much bigger than that. So the Mesillas Yesharim is going to take a person on a journey to accomplish this goal of becoming a whole person. And I wonder if that it's because of this big question and the fact that the Mesillas Yesharim is focused on one statement of Chazal, which we'll get to at the end of the introduction very shortly, or not so very shortly, but shortly. Let's not exaggerate. is that there's something fascinating about this book, Maseilas Yesharim, which is that it has been accepted as the ethical work across the board. When Ramchal was alive, he was persecuted so much that he had to run away. He had to run away from Italy. He was taken to task in Germany. He had to find refuge in Amsterdam. He died in he died at the end of his life in Akko in a plague. And after his life, so there is a sefer. I have to thank my close friend Rabbi Eli Michel. He did an entire 30 shiurim on Ramchal. So I asked him, I said, could you send me some notes? So he sent me like 1,000 pages of notes and pieces. He sent me a piece of a sefer called Sefer Hagon, where the author of the sefer quotes a tradition from Reb Lazer Gordon from Telz, who had a Kabbalah, a tradition, one person from the next person from the next person, from the Vilna Gaon, that when the Vilna Gaon received the Sefer, he said, the Maseilas Yesharim, that a huge light had come into the world, and that the Vilna Gaon learned the Maseilas Yesharim 101 times. And he paid a significant amount of money so that he should be able to own his own copy of Maseilas Yesharim. And at the same time, the Koznitzer Magid said that whatever levels he achieved in his spiritual development are all due to Maseilas Yesharim. Now the Koznitzer Magid is firmly, firmly, deeply rooted in the world of Chassidus, and the Vilna Gaon is like the Adon, the master of the Lithuanian tradition, and they both felt that the Maseilas Yesharim is the way to lead our lives. So the Ramchal here, in, I wonder if it's tapping into the ultimate truth of what we're supposed to accomplish in Yiddishkeit, which is why all the different people on the spectrum, even, by the way, modern secular Hebrew novelists, writers, were interested in Ramchal. Because when I wonder, we know that the Ribon Shel Olam is Achdus or Yisbarach, is all Achdus, is all oneness. We only see Pirud, we see division, but Klape Shmaya, Kodesh Baruch himself, is all one. Who's Yachid Ve'en Yechidus Kamo V'Shempanim, is all oneness. And I wonder if what's going on here is that the Ramchal is putting his finger on a deep truth of the ultimate expression of Yiddishkeit, of the ultimate goal of Jews to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the source of oneness. And therefore, that oneness is going to appeal to every single person in the bifurcated, in the fragmented world that we live in. Because every person realizes, whether that person is a Misnagid, or whether that person is a Chassid, whether that person is Ashkenazi or Sephardi, this book is ubiquitous because they realize it's all coming back to the same Shorish. The Shorish of godliness, which brings everything together. And therefore, everybody's going to find a way to connect to it, even if my way of connecting to it is going to be totally different than somebody else's way of connecting to it. But once we get to it, we realize that is the Shorish of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's his message. And that's going to be universal. It's going to be Achdus Yisbarach. And it's interesting to me that even within the Sefer, now, I don't know anything, unfortunately, I don't know anything because I'm just a young person striving, have so much further to go. I don't know anything about Kabbalah, but as we mentioned, the Ramchal was a big-time, major, major force in the world of Kabbalah. So people who know, apparently, they say that the Maseilas Yesharim is laden with deeper levels of meaning of Kabbalah. So what happens? Every person can learn the Maseilas Yesharim and come back to the spiritual core of Yiddishkeit and appreciate it on their level. A simple person like me can read it on a simple level. A teenager can read it on a teenage level. A Kabbalistic scholar can read it on a level of Kabbalah. But isn't that the truth of the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, kaviyachol? That because it's all Achdus, it's Achdus Yisbarach, it's all oneness, so that oneness contains within it multiple layers, but it all comes together. It's not that these layers are separate, that you have to learn Kabbalah over here and ethical moral development over there. It's that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all together. You just are unpacking and unpeeling the onion, in this case, very sweet, like light a core of light, peeling off the layers, and you get one inside the next, but it's all integrated. It's not bifurcated. It's not that there's, you know, there's Musar over here, and then there's Kabbalah over there. It's that somehow the Ramchal, in this one touchstone, is able to include everything. So it brings together different people and different aspects of the learning. And maybe that's why it has become the book of personal development across the board. In every yeshiva, if you're going to ask somebody, Rav Kook wrote his own Kitzur Mesilas Yesharim. Because he says, everybody has to learn Mesilas Yesharim. Let's say you don't have enough time. So you know what? Rav Kook says he'll do us a favor. He'll write a Kitzur, a little miniature Mesilas Yesharim. Because how could it be that a person does have time to learn Mesilas Yesharim? And if you look in every yeshiva, how could you have a person who's growing spiritually without Mesilas Yesharim? Everybody is on board with this. And I wonder if that's the point, that his goal is to talk about what it means to be a whole Jew, a complete Jew, which is drilling down to the shorish of Yiddishkeit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Achdus, Achduso Yisbarach, and therefore everybody can find a way to relate to it. It's not taking one piece of Yiddishkeit, one piece of learning, it's trying to get a sense and a grasp of the wholeness. And now we can open it up.
So why is this Yiddishkeit taught, let's say, at a high school level? It's not something that you're finding.
So it probably depends on which high school you're going to. Some high schools probably, did you learn Mesilas Yesharim growing up? I suspect that in many high schools they do learn Mesilas Yesharim. You know, it's an interesting question, how to package Mesilas Yesharim for a high school student, right? Because how to have a, you know, how to have a, I tried this recently with a high school student who lives in my own house. How to have a spiritual conversation with a high school student is an interesting challenge. I'm not sure how well I succeeded in that conversation. So how to package it for high school students is a good question. But I think in some high schools, they probably do learn Mesilas Yesharim. And the question sometimes is how people learn Mesilas Yesharim. Some people, I suspect, learn Mesilas Yesharim, and the Mesilas Yesharim is used as a hammer or an anvil. So they have a very nasty reaction. And if you talk about Mesilas Yesharim, they probably have they need therapy from Mesilas Yesharim. Because it was taught in a way, you know, because it is this spiritual core, well, it can be appreciated and taught and shaped and reflected in different kinds of ways. So I'm sure there are people out there who need serious psychiatric attention from Mesilas Yesharim, but that's probably because the person who taught them Mesilas Yesharim chose the particular components of Mesilas Yesharim and emphasized and taught it in a way that beat them down to the point where they're like, I can't take it anymore. The Mesilas Yesharim is killing me. And then there are those who study Mesilas Yesharim who have gotten to the core and the real growth of it, the openness of Mesilas Yesharim, that has lifted them up and has freed their soul. So a lot of times, when you have a work that's this powerful, a lot of times it depends on how it's learned and how it's taught. It depends on the particular person. There are some people who are going to learn Mesilas Yesharim and they're going to be inclined to the very, because it's diverse, they're going to be inclined to the components of Mesilas Yesharim that are very intense. Some people like that. Some people are looking for that, and that's good for them. But if somebody is not inclined for that, and you take the Mesilas Yesharim, you start beating them over the head on Erev Yom Kippur, so then they might not react.
It's possible that many of the yeshivas that did teach Mesilas Yesharim put it under the class of Musar.
Exactly.
Who wants to be Musar?
Oh, so that's the thing.
Right, and most inopportune time at the end of the year when you want to go out.
Okay. So yes. Yes, so traditionally, Mesilas Yesharim is classified as Musar, which it certainly is. But it's not exclusively Musar, but also it depends how the Musar is being taught and who it's being taught to and in what context. So there were Musar yeshivas in Europe. There were many Musar yeshivas. There was a whole Musar movement. And so much of it is rooted in Mesilas Yesharim. So for many people, they were looking for that. And the Mesilas Yesharim was a huge guide. But what's interesting is that, and as I learned more about this, I became aware, and Rabbi Michelle actually took out some passages to share with me from Mesilas Yesharim to emphasize that there were many Hasidim who learn Mesillas Yesharim. Now, Hasidus is different than Musar. But what's amazing is that, and this is such an important point, is that Hasidus and Musar are in a certain sense similar in that they are trying to treat the whole person as an Eved Hashem. To try and bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just in the Parak of Mishnayos or in the Pasuk and Chumash, but as a whole soul, as a whole human being. So Musar is one approach, and Hasidus is a different approach, and they have different emphases, but their aim is very similar. They're kind of parallel. They're definitely distinct, but they're very similar in certain ways. So the Mesillas Yesharim can be both a Musar work, but also can be learned and taught in Hasidic circles with a Hasidic bent, without question. Because it's getting back to that big question that we started with. What is our purpose? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? And what do we want from ourselves? What are we trying to accomplish here? What does it mean to be an accomplished Jew, a whole Jew? So let's start at the beginning. A1. Amar HaMechaber says Ramchal, Hachibur hazeh lo chibartiv lalame lebnei adam es asher lo yado. He says, I didn't write this to teach people what they do not already know. Everybody knows this. What we're going to talk about, says Ramchal, we all know it. So by the way, generally speaking, when somebody tells you, I'm not going to tell you anything you didn't know, they usually tell you something you don't know. So it's kedai. So he will tell us lots of things that we don't know. But he says, most people know these things already. The challenge is that even though people know them, they don't focus on them. They don't pay attention to them. That's the challenge. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to review them. So now, I would say two things. Number one, it's important to go back to the basics. But number two, what Ramchal is about to tell us are things that we know, but we're going to need to review them. And so then at the end of this paragraph, he says, so therefore, you know what is going to be important about this limud? It's not going to be what we learn, because we already know it. So why are we doing this? What are we doing if we already know it? He says, the goal here is actually to learn this sefer many times. The growth is not going to be learning it one time and saying, aha, there's a chiddush, I got it, and then I move on. It's going to be learning it multiple times, right? There's a big difference between a sefer that presents a chiddush, a novel idea. Very often, a good shiur will give you like an aha moment. I'll say, ah, wow, what an insight. And that's what you'll take away from the shiur, right? Very often you'll go to a shiur or a drasha, and you'll say, at some point in drasha, it'll just be, boom, like, nafala asimon. We just got it. Now I have something to take with me, and now I'm going to walk out with a new idea. Ramchal says, that's not what's happening here. Rather, the goal is to take something we know and to repeat it over and over and over. So what that tells me is that Ramchal is focusing not so much on the content, but on the process. It's what does it mean to go through the process? It's a process. It's stuff that we know. These are things that we already know. But we're going to become changed people through the process of learning and going back to it again and again and again. We're going to keep climbing the ladder. What happens when a person keeps climbing up steps? People pay money to do this. You know that? People pay money. Not everybody, you don't have to pay. When I was in yeshiva, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Stav, so he's very health conscious. So every day after shir, we used to take a sivuv before lunch. We'd go for a walk. And because, Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to be one of the close talmidim, so I used to do the sivuv at least once a week, sometimes twice. And then when I came to YU and he would be in New York, he would come and visit. So sometimes he would walk back and forth across the George Washington Bridge for the sivuv, and sometimes, if the weather was really bad and he couldn't walk on the bridge, there is a very tall building, the tallest building in YU, which is actually the highest point in all of Manhattan, is a building called Belfer Hall. So if Stav would do the stairs up and down all 20 floors of Belfer Hall, that was his exercise for the day. But some people, they just pay money and they buy a step. So what happens when you do the same steps over and over again? What's that? You get faster. It becomes easier, but what does it do to you? Right? You grow through that process. You become healthier. I assume something happens with your heart rate. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, whatever they say, we're supposed to do it, we do it. Fine. You haven't gone anywhere. You go on a Stairmaster. You didn't go anywhere. You're doing the same steps over and over. But at the end of it, you're in a much better place. Ramchal says, I'm going to give you the same steps that you've known your whole life. But you need to take those steps. And the more you take the steps over and over, it's going to be the process of focusing on this aspect of ourselves.
So which process? The linear process or the...
So what we're going to... So it's a good question. The answer is they're both... Paul's question is which one? The classic Mesillas Yesharim or the conversation? The answer is it doesn't really matter because they're both talking about the same principles. Ramchal says if we want to get to our goal of being whole Yidden, true Jews, we need to be focusing on these core concepts. The Precious and the Zahiris and all of these things, the basics, what it means to be a whole Jew, which he's going to tell us in a minute because I'm not going to let you go without that. That's going to be the last point here. Don't worry. So it doesn't really matter. But the traditional one is the one that goes by Perek. So he says, let me give you a little snapshot of the landscape. And I would argue that this landscape is not just true in 1740 when he published it. It's also true for us when we are honest with ourselves. On line number 12, he says, V'tireim tisbonin bahoveh. If you look at what's going on, Barov Ha'olam, Ki Rov Anshe Hasechel Hamarif Ha'apikchem Vacharifim Yosimu Rov Hisbonanam V'Histaklusam B'Dakus Achachmos V'Omek Hu'Anyanim Hu'Iyunim. He says, what happens with most people who are advanced in society? What happens to the people who are at the top? What's their aspiration? Well, their aspiration very often is to accomplish in the Dakus HaChachmos. Just take the general society. What is the marker of great accomplishment? Let's say in American culture, I would say, if you ask most people, somebody would say, well, going to Yale or Harvard or some other prominent academic institution and getting a PhD in, you know, the caulk between the floorboard dynamics or something, you know, like that. Some very abstract, highly specialized intellectual pursuit. You write a book, right? That's a very high level of accomplishment in society today. Excelling in high level academics, right? That's certainly one of the most, and then usually that is correlated with a particular specialized profession. You know, somebody's going to take that knowledge and become a neurosurgeon or a poet laureate or whatever that is. So he says, people are then going to use ish, line number 14, according to what their nature is. Some people are more math inclined. Some people are more humanities inclined. So different approaches. Va'acherim, second to last line, yikonzu yoser al hakodesh. Some people will devote their lives, dahainu limud ha-Torah ha-kadosha. Some people will be engaged in the learning of Torah. And that Torah learning will be, last line, pilpule halachos, midrashim, piski dinim, turn the page. But how many people are focused on ach ma'atim b1, ma'atim yumin amina zeh? How many people who are studying Torah are focused, and Baruch Hashem there are, but the question is, how much time do we focus, are we studying, on the Inyane Shlemus HaAvoda, the wholeness of our service to Hashem, the wholeness of what it means to be a Jew, which, now he's going to tip his hand, so you can run out after you get this line, but we're going to develop it further. So please, don't run just yet. We still have a few more minutes. Ava, Yira, Dveikis, Ve'alko, Sha'ar, Chelke, Achasidus. all the other aspects, the dimensions of piety. He says, lo mipnei, amazing, he says, line number three, lo mipnei she'in dvarim eila ikar metzlam. It's not because if you ask a Torah scholar why this is not a focus for them, for some, they would say it's not important. They would say, obviously, of course it's important to be close to God, to love God, to fear God. It's not because it's not important. But rather, it's because it's so obvious on line number 80, says, Lo yira lahem tzorech lohotzi biyunam zman rav. He says, it's so obvious. You don't need to spend time thinking about loving God. Of course. That's one of the sheish mitzvot tzmidios. So, of course, you have a mitzvah to love God. Of course you love God. There's not something to talk about, to study. It is. No, everybody knows that. Everybody believes that. Every Talmud Chacham has that. So Ramchal says, what that leads to, the consequence is that, we take it for granted. And so much so, he says, that it leads to the following misunderstanding, that in the conclusion of this paragraph, he says, if you see somebody who's spending time thinking about, meditating on, studying, discussing Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, people say, he's probably just saying Tehillim all day. He's probably just saying Vidui all day, not really learning. It leads to this total mischaracterization that there is a role and a world of development which is separate from the world of traditional halacha or pilpul or medrash, the development of the shleimus of the person. And he says, what is the mistake here? The mistake here is that people assume, well, it's binary. Yes, I know God, I believe in God, I love God, I fear God, and then I move on. He says, that is not true. That is the core error here. Why? Go to the last line. Because he says, last line on page B, Re'eh, you have to understand, Ki ein divrei hachasidus, top of the next column of C, Ve'inyone ayira va'avat v'tara salev. He says, these issues of how we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are not mutboim ba'odam. They are not innate, like on the third line, Shena yikitza ra v'sova. Innately, if we didn't eat breakfast, we get hungry. If we didn't sleep, we become tired. Ramchal says, there is no innate process of feeling not spiritually connected. There is no spiritual or emotional or psychological clock or trigger that says, ooh, I'm spiritually deficient. So what happens is, because it's not innate, it needs to be developed and cultivated. And if it's not developed and cultivated, it's never going to exist. And there is no trigger. What's the trigger? Very often, and we see this now today in the world at large, there are a lot of people who maybe went through a traditional yeshiva system or didn't go through a traditional yeshiva system, are studying Judaism, and they're saying, this is not working for me. They're waking up either at the age of 15 or 10 or 20 or 70, and they're saying, everything I learned until now, it's missing something. It's lacking. And they start searching. And if you look around and you put the ear to the ground of what's going on in different Jewish communities, there are a lot of things that are going on. And a lot of that comes from this, that there was no emphasis on developing these aspects for many people. And there is no sense that it's missing, because it's not like hunger, where you wake up at dinner time, you're like, I have to eat something. But then after many years, a person turns around and they say, wait a second, my Yiddishkeit is dead. My davening is dead. I might be learning Daf Yomi every day for 20 years, but my Yiddishkeit is empty. I might send my kids to day school. I might not cook on Shabbos. I might, make a Seder, but my Yiddishkeit is stale and dead. And then people start searching. But the reason that they're searching is because this part of their Yiddishkeit was never treated. It was never taken care of. It was never cultivated. We know a lot of people like this. And we ourselves maybe at different points in our life, or maybe right now, are hitting this wall that we've been doing it a long time, but there's something lacking. So the Ramchal says, we need to invest in this. So what happens is, go to line 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Go to line 15. He says, we have, imagine a person has ignored Ikar ma Hashem Elokeinu Shol Meimanu, what God is looking for us, which, by the way, is the little voice of our neshama pinging inside of us. Hayitachin, is it possible? Sheyagia v'yamol sechleinu, that a person should toil in their intellect, v'chakiras asher lo skayavnu b'em, in all kinds of intellectual gymnastics, or pilpulim asher lo yetze lanu shum primizeh, or dinim, and all these things. And I would add, you'll take it or leave it, I would add, someone who goes through the whole system of just checking the boxes of doing the mitzvos because it says it, but there's no context or meaning. So a person is either learning all of these things or doing all of these things. But umasha chayavim anu leborenu, what our soul is looking for, what we need to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accomplish our goal, Chova Rabba, line 18, a great obligation, Nazvenu, we're just going to leave it lahergo, just for rote, V'nanicheu l'mitzvah sanashim l'umada? We're just going to leave it be, we're going to lead an uninspired life, so maybe for some people that's okay, but for a lot of people, that's not enough. So we need, rather, take a look on Tert Beit D, we need, of course, you can look at it on your own in full, we need to spend time. Go to line 17. Lama lo yikba adam le'atzmo itim. A person needs to set time. Lehistaklus hazeh. It requires, line 23, iyun gadol. Each of these steps of Rav Pinchas ben Yair requires iyun gadol. Great focus. Ladas osam be'emes. Lo atzara dimyun vasvar chazev. Not just kind of lip service. So what is it? That's what we've been asking the question for. What is a whole Jew? Turn to page E. This is it. The answer is, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Line 4. Moshe Rabbeinu told us, Va'ata Yisrael, and now the Jewish people, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. What is God asking of you? So this is it. This is what it means to be a whole Jew, to answer this question. This is the goal of our life. This has to be front and center. This is the statement around which all of Hasidus and Musar Yeshivas and Misnagdim were all able to agree on this one pasuk in Chumash, because this is the shorish of everything. Kiyim liyiras Hashem Elokecha, loleches b'chol derachav, Ula'ava also, v'lavod es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcho v'chol nafshecha, lishmor es mitzvos Hashem v'es chukosov. Kan, says Ramchal, kolal, in this we include everything. Kol chelkei shlemos ha'avod ha'nirtzeis lishbo yizbarach. And they are, Yira, what's that? Line 10, Yiras romamuso yizbarach. The awe that a person should feel before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if a person were standing in front of an awesome king. Second issue, Halicha Bedrachav. Line 13, Kolol Ka'inyan Yosher Hamidos. Proper ethical behavior, character development, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kanan and Rachum. How we act. Line number, go to page F, top line, number 3. Third issue, ha'ava, she nikba b'lev adam, that it should be fixed in our hearts, ava elav yisparach, love for Hashem, to the point where we love God, and therefore we want to find out what's important to Him. The same way that if we love another person, we want to do what's best for them, not because of what's in it for us, but because we want for them. And we would feel bad if we have a child that we love, or a friend that we love, or a parent that we love. We want that person to be in a good place. We don't want them to be lacking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid, lo aleinu, is in a terrible state of chilul today. It's a Rachmanus. God is a Rachmanus. Who's bringing godliness into the world? If we really care about him, we're going to make sure to take care of him, kiviyachol. We're going to bring godliness into the world. Shleimus Halev. It says, La'ava, and then La'avadas Hashem b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. What is that? Line 5. Shetia avoda lefanu yizbarach b'torah hakavana. That we should be focused with the proper intention and not some other ulterior motive. Next step, next aspect, line 9, Shmiras kol ha-mitzvos, observing all the commandments. Like it says, Shmiras kol ha-mitzvos kulim b'chol digdukein. And he says, therefore, line 11, all these things require analysis and understanding and application in every generation and for every person. So Matzasi, and I found, he says, I found one ladder, one framework that can help us. And that's the Brice of Reb Pinchas Ben Yair. Line 16. Mikan Am Reb Pinchas Ben Yair. So we're going to conclude where we started. The Torah mevi alidei Zehirus. Zehirus mevi alidei Zrizus. Zrizus mevi alidei Nikias. Nikias mevi alidei Precious. Precious mevi alidei Tara. Tara mevi alidei Chsidus. Chsidus mevi alidei Anava. Anava mevi alidei Yerashchet. Yerashchet mevi alidei Kedusha. Kedusha mevi alidei Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh mevi alidei Tchias HaMesim. And so the next chapter, the beginning of the Ramchal Sefer, starts, what's macho vaso ha'adam ba'olamo? What's our purpose? And he talks about the fact that we are a soul, and our purpose is not to live in this world, but to use this world as a vehicle for accomplishing and bringing godliness into our world. And so we're going to start from, what is the goal? Begin with the end in mind, Stephen Covey. It's very true. That's exactly what the Ramchal says. The next chapter is going to be, what is Chovoso Ba'olama? What's our goal? All of these aspects to create an Adam HaSholem, a whole person. And then we're going to go through the steps, walk up the ladder. And it's like a treadmill. We're going to keep coming over and over. It's going to be a lifelong journey and then some. But says the Ramchal, we cannot ignore all of these different aspects. We need to be a whole and integrated Jewish person. And for every one of us, this journey is going to look different. But the destination of the journey is going to be the same. It's that same pasuk of Va'at Yisrael Ma'ashem Elokecha Shor Meimach. That is the goal of Judaism. That's what it means to be a whole Jew, and that's going to be the measure of success. If we can accomplish through the course of our life to refine all of these aspects of the Yiras Hashem, of the Avas Hashem, of B'chol Levavcha, of Lishmar Kol Mitzvosav, then we have really accomplished that goal of being a whole Jew. And that was what the Ramchal saw was lacking in his generation. And that is something that each and every generation has found has been a beacon of light. And we can all use this to grow in our own Avodas Hashem.